okay? So they'd been in captivity by the Babylonians for some time, and God had moved within countries and with leaders, and that in such a case and in such a way that now the Israelites, they had dreamed of, they had talked about, you hear about in the Psalms, how they want to come back to their homeland, to the promised land. They'd been shipped out away from their homeland, and now God orchestrated it so that they would now be able to come back. The Persians took over the Babylonians and said, okay, all of you Israelites, you can go back home. We still rule over you, but you can go back to where your homeland is. And so things started out good with them. You know, circumstances were great. They rebuilt the temple, you know, where God was to reside. And they regarded this exile, this return from exile, as a miracle from God. Like, God actually answered our prayers. God is leading us back to this promised land, this place where we wanted to be, this paradise. But over time, again, as we've been learning in the book of Malachi, people began to slowly slide and slip away from closeness with God, subtly and slowly. And events turned as well with them. The people were still discontent because they were under the rule of a Persian ruler. All right? The promised land had not become a paradise because they were experiencing a drought. Instead of prosperous crops, they'd failed due to locusts and drought. Okay? Religious activities were becoming burdensome for them, and they weren't seeing any spiritual effect from it. And priests and people alike were violating covenants of the Father. So again, we've been hearing about how these priests have just been kind of like saying, I just have this apathy or blasé about their walk. Have you ever had that? Have you ever experienced a blasé or just a apathy towards God? And you see, God's people were at the point where they looked around and they didn't seem to see God at work. And this is what happens sometimes. God is sometimes silent with us, and we look around and we don't see God working. So what we tend to do sometimes is like, we just go, okay, God's not working, I'm just going to go and do what I want to do. So they begin to say, hey, why bother if God's not working, if God's not doing things that we want? We're disappointed with you, God. Our expectations are not what we had hoped for. And so they go, huh, well, maybe I'll just kind of do what I want to do. And in fact, they begin to look around at each other. They begin to look at the priest. The people begin to look at the priest. The priests were offering the lame sacrifices they put up. And they begin to look around at each other and say, hey, well, this person's not really offering their best. This person's marrying someone outside of what God has designed for us. So maybe I can do it too, you know? This is fine. And in fact, they looked around and they saw other people doing bad things, evil things, things that were not what God designed, and seemingly getting away with it. Have you ever been in this situation where you like, hey, why is it that when I look at someone, maybe even they're a Christian, and they, what, they're either working the system at their job at work, working the boss, whatever, not working with integrity, and yet they're moving up the ladder? Or maybe it's at school where you see someone getting away with cheating, and they're doing it all the time, and they seem to be prospering just fine. You know, why is it? Like, what is God doing? Why do they get away with it? And why can't I? Why shouldn't I be able to? This is kind of the situation. People began to kind of look around at each other and see that things were slipping and, hey, maybe it's okay. So let's see what God had sent Malachi to say to the people. Okay? This is the situation, and this is what God had sent Malachi to say to the people. He said, you have wearied the Lord with your words. People ask, hey, how have we wearied Him? What are we doing to burden God? You have wearied him by saying that all who do evil are good in the Lord's sight, and he is pleased with them. You have wearied him by asking, where is the God of justice? So because of God's apparent inactivity, and sometimes God is silent. You know, sometimes we're looking for his hand and we're not seeing it. But because of God's apparent inactivity, because God is not meeting their expectations and they're disappointed in their situation and their circumstances of how life should be since they've been back from Babylon, because God is disappointing them, God's people register a couple of complaints against him. All right? I'm disappointed, so this is how I see you now, God. Okay? And here are the complaints that they have. Kind of break this down. Here's the complaint department. Going to work. Register a complaint with God. All right? Hey, God, it seems to be that you seem to be approving of evil. Because when I look around, I see other people cheating or I see other people working the system. And I don't see you doing anything. Obviously, these folks are just doing fine and you're not really responding. Also, another complaint is, hey, where is your justice? All right? Where's your justice? Where is the God that's supposed to be just, all right? Here's some of the things that was going on at the time and how it relates to us, okay? Here's some of the things that were happening during the time of Malachi, and some of this, at least one of these, will be a bit of review. Okay, so again, the priests, the leaders, were giving lame sacrifices, all right? And so this is what it was, is a priest, you know, who goes before the people to offer a sacrifice to atone for the people's sins. We're saying, all right, we've got this sheep and this sheep, this ram, and these are good for eating. These are good for mine. But there's one over here that's got three legs and one eye and is sick. Why don't we use that one to give to God? All right? Why don't we give that? Why don't we put that on the altar? I'm sure God won't notice. All right? I'm sure he won't notice. What's the diff? You know, we're just going to slaughter it anyways. If you remember, Randy said this is kind of what this means for us is that, hey, this is what we do sometimes. Again, we're not dealing with this system anymore. But oftentimes what we do is we give our second best to God. You know, these folks were disappointed with how God was working their circumstances, was not apparently working around them, or at least they weren't able to see it. So they begin to say, well, we'll just start giving our second. And for you, that might mean, again, Randy talked about it, it might mean giving your leftover time to God. It might say, like, hey, I'll do all that I'd like to do first, whether it be, you know, the things that I would like to enjoy, whether it be watching a show or getting on the computer or whatever it may be. But then afterwards, God is an afterthought, all right? He's secondary, you know? I'll give him my leftover times when I'm exhausted at the end of the day. I might say a prayer as I'm falling asleep. And that's fine to say a prayer when you're going to bed. But hey, are you giving him your secondary? Are you giving him the lame sacrifices? You know, this may work out in your life like this. At least for me, I'm a morning person, all right? So for me, like, I know for me, my best time to give to God is like in the morning because I'm most alert in the morning, all right? So when I'm giving God my first, I know for me, hey, I can give him the best worship I've got in the morning. Now, Sarah is a night owl, you know? So for people, it's different for everybody. For her, you know, maybe it's best for her to say, hey, I'm most awake, most alert. I can give my best worship at night or something like that. Whatever it is, this is what the people were doing. And they were given, like, their second their second best, all right? They were given their leftovers. Okay? Also, at this time, what was going on with in Malachi's time? He was harping, maybe, I don't know how much of Randy touched on this last week, but the men were marrying women who worship idols. Okay? All right? And the problem with that, again, is what God desired is that, when we are yoked with somebody, down the passage, what is it? It's 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Okay, so this is the problem that Malachi, the God, shared through Malachi with the people of the time, that, hey, you guys are marrying those who are worshiping other gods. And so when you get yoked together with somebody like this, what happens when you're really connected with someone is that they have a different direction than you. That person that they married were saying, well, we don't really value what Yahweh values. That's your God. This is our God. So why don't you come to church with me instead or whatever. Come to synagogue. Come to whatever the God was that they wanted to worship. So for us, this might translate for us. The passage that I read says just don't be equally yoked. It could be mean in business. A lot of times you go into business partners together, and what happens is sometimes there's a Christian business man or woman who goes into a partnership with a man or woman who's not a Christian, and they run their business. They have different ways of thinking. For you, it might be when you think about in the future dating, you know, again, when you get connected with someone and you're deeply involved with them, God says, hey, I want you to be yoked with someone who is following after me. All right? But this is what was happening during that time. And last, the people weren't tithing. And so we'll cover this a little bit next week, but people just weren't bringing their tithes. They weren't, if out of the increase that they received, they gave nothing back to God. And so for each of these, what was happening was during this time is that the people were saying, hey, you know, someone over here, this brother or sister is not giving their best. Hey, and God's not really, this Christian is not giving their best, but yet God's not really doing anything. So actually, why do I need to go and give my best? Why do I need to spend time with the Lord? Why do I need to go to youth group? If this person is kind of wayward and kind of, and yet they're prospering. Sometimes this happens. You see someone kind of like, they're away from God or not even a believer and they're prospering. You're saying, hey, where is God in all this? Or you see maybe a couple who begin to date. Sometimes you'll see this in college or in high school where there's a Christian who says, gosh, I really think he's a really nice guy. He's really kind. So I'm going to go ahead, and he likes me, you know? So I'm going to go ahead and we'll date. We'll have a friendship. We'll date. And yet you see this couple, and everything seems to be going fine. So you say, hey, they're doing fine. There's no punishment coming down. There's no wrath or fire coming down on them. They're doing just fine. So why can't I do that? All right? This is what's happening around them. They see, they're disappointed that God's not working their circumstances the way they want. So they begin to kind of slide away and they begin to look at each other and say, hey, God is not responding. So God is not a God of justice and God is not working here. So we can kind of do what we want. So the Lord uses Malachi to give people a clear response to their complaints, okay? And this is essentially what Malachi says to when people are saying, hey, where's the God of justice? And God, you apparently approve of evil because you're not responding to Christians, or not Christians, I guess, God's people who aren't tracking with you. This is what he basically essentially says to the people. The Lord's mercy does have a limitation, people. You know, like right now what you see when the priests are sacrifices and God's not responding, what you're seeing is God's waiting. God's merciful. And sometimes when you look at other Christians and you're saying, hey, how come that Christian's not walking with God? They're cheating. They're, you know, walking away, but yet they seem to be doing fine. They're happy. They're well adjusted. Their grades are doing well. And what you see is happening is God's mercy. He's saying, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. All right? But God's mercy does have a time. It's not an endless thing. Okay? He does have a limitation. And he's also, Malachi also will say in so many words, he will purify and judge his people to display his justice. All right? He is going to purify and judge his people to display his justice. All right, so here now God responds to the people's complaints. All right, and here they are again. Here's their complaints, so keep these in mind. And so first what God does is set through Malachi says, first I'll address your complaints, okay? First I'm going to do it in a general sense. He says this, look, I am sending a messenger and he will prepare the way for me. Way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of the heaven's armies. But who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? See, the idea of this messenger that he's talking about, at least this way, person that kind of prepares the way, it comes from an Eastern custom. Sending messengers before a king, like before a king entered a city, they would send in a messenger to kind of announce that this king was coming, and also to literally prepare, like move stuff aside off the road so that this king could come in. And so there's some dispute among scholars of who this messenger is, but many interpreters think, again, that this is beginning to talk about, this is alluding to, this is the last book before the New Testament. This is beginning to talk about John the Baptist, all right? Or messengers leading up to John the Baptist, okay? Of preparing a way for Jesus, all right? And he also says that that God will return to his temple, all right? So he says, kind of be ready because God will indwell in his temple. All right. So, in a general way, what Malachi is saying to them is like to their response of he's responding to their complaint of where is the God of justice? And the answer is, hey, be ready because God is going to return. God is currently approving of evil. When you look around and other Christians and they're not walking and you don't see any kind of retribution from God, or you don't see any justice, Malachi says, you're going to be surprised. Suddenly, unexpectedly, surprisingly, God will come. All right? And this prophecy is significant for us in a couple of ways, for a couple of reasons. Again, Malachi is, one, is alluding to Christ here. But who will be able to endure when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? So one, it's I want you guys to see that, hey, the Old Testament and the New Testament are not separated, but Malachi is already beginning to talk about, hey, Christ is going to, somebody at this time they didn't know who it was, is going to come back, and I want you to be ready, because you think that things are not being judged. You think that the things that are going on amongst you are not being seen, but they are. And two, this prophecy unites the facts of the first and second comings of Christ in a way that his judgment is stressed amongst God's people. So again, a couple of months ago, we had a conference, the multi-church conference in this area that, again, talked about Revelation. And being ready was kind of our main theme. So, how this relates to you is, hey, again, are you ready? Are you ready for His turn? If He were to return today, what would you be found doing? How would your inner life be found? The things that we don't see here on Sunday, the things that that you do alone, the things that are during the week, how would God find you today? Are you ready for His return? All right? Where would you stand with God, even among the things that we just talked about giving our, if God were to turn, if Christ were to turn today, where would you stand today? How would God judge you in the areas of, hey, are you giving your first and your foremost to Him, of your time, of your resources, of your heart? Are you, at least, are you partnering, are you connected with unbelievers, being yoked with unbelievers in a way that draws you away from Him? Are you giving the first part of your increase, like whether it be a job? I know some of you have jobs, many of you don't, but some of you I know even get increases like or at least money for Christmas, for Chinese New Year. But hey, are you in the practice of giving the first part of your increase back to God? All right, how would God judge you on this? Because what we know is that there are going to be two judgments. Okay? In the end times, there's going to be two judgments for believers. The first judgment will ask where you stand with Jesus. Are you in Christ? Okay, so if you are in a relationship with Him and you've trusted Him, just as we've kind of seen during this celebration of baptism, that's the first judgment. God will say, where are you with Christ? If you're in Christ, hey, the first judgment's like, hey, Jesus, stand up for me, and you're set. But there'll also be another judgment. Okay, there'll be a second judgment. The second judgment we'll be talking about will have to deal with your works. These. What are you doing with your walk? Okay? So God will say, hey, I'm going to take each of your works, what you're doing with God, and I'm going to put them on the judgment seat and say, hey, does it stand up? Are you doing things? Are you doing it for the Lord? Okay? All right. So the last part, we'll end with this, is that God deals specifically with their complaints. All right, with these people's with God's people's complaints. There, the first one was, God approves of evil. So this is how He deals with that. He specifically responds to that. He says this, for He will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Then once more the Lord will accept the offerings brought to Him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem as He did in the past. So, is God, when you see other Christians, other believers, and in this case it was God's people, in this case it was specifically, it was God's people and the Levites, the leaders, when you see them doing things that, hey, how come, God, they are seem to be getting away with it? Or even unbelievers. How come this person seems to be, doing something outside of your plan and yet seems to be prospering? Well, God says, I want to answer that question for you. No, I'm not approving of it. I'm just demonstrating my mercy. And there will come a time when I will return. And look what He says. He says, it'll be like a blazing fire that refines metal, like strong soap that bleaches clothes. If you guys, I've done wash a couple of times, and unfortunately, I was pouring bleach in and wearing a shirt that I liked, and a little bit of the bleach splashed onto my shirt, and it like burns a hole through your shirt because of the power of just straight bleach. And God says, this is kind of the picture that's going to be used, and you have like little white spots on your shirt. This is kind of the picture that's going to be used for Christians. He's going to say, hey, like a soap that is strong, that bleaches clothes, when I return, this is referring to God coming back in the temple and Christ coming the first time, there's going to be some correction done. All right? Or if you think of refining of metal. Again, you know how it goes. Probably most of you have heard how metal is refined, is that they heat it up, extreme heat with gold and silver. All the impurities, so hot, all the impurities float to the top and they like scrape off the impurities. Well, this is the picture of what happens with believers, with us. All right? Are you in a circumstance right now? Is God somehow right now placing you in a spot in your life where things are heated, where things are extremely tough? God is purifying you. Or maybe it's a relationship that right now that it's between two people, a friend, a parent, a classmate, whatever, where God is teaching you something by refining you, by putting on some heat, some pressure. And I know a lot of times we're thinking it's the other person's, like, that you're in an argument with, you're in a fight with. God has a lot of refining to do for that person for sure. But a lot of times it's not, it's also, hey, it's us that God's refining. All right? It's us that God's refining. And so, again, what He wants to do is start out with refining the leaders, so that once again they can begin to accept their first, they can begin to give their first and best. All right? Okay, and then the second specific question or challenge that they had for God is, where is the God of justice? Okay, it says this, for at that time I will put you on trial. I'm eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, who deprive foreigners living among you justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So when the people ask, hey, where is the God of justice that we've heard in the Torah? God says, I'm right here. And I'm coming back. And I'm eager to put you folks, to draw you in and put you on trial to witness against you. All right? And I know that for all of us like here, I don't think that there's any sorcerers in the room. Probably some liars, you know. All of us have lied at one point. But look at the latter part. He's like, I will speak against those who cheat employees of wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners of living among you of justice. Are we as a church doing this? Are we as a church inadvertently, I don't think any of us are running sweatshops or anything like that, right? But do we care enough for those who are forgotten, for those widows and orphans? Are we reaching out? Are we showing God, at least in the Old Testament, made provisions for those foreigners and for those widows and orphans? And the church has, in many ways, long since forgotten those. All right? I want to say to you, I want to close by saying, it's okay to be disappointed with your circumstances. It's okay to be disappointed with God. But when you allow that to turn into apathy towards Him, or a blasé walk with Him, or when you look around at others and say, hey, well, this person's walking away from God and doing just fine, so I think I'll be okay too, begins a slow and subtle slip. So why don't we, let's Let's close in prayer, and then we'll respond with song. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that you love us enough that you show mercy to us, that you show grace to us. You withhold what we deserve, but let us be fooled into thinking that that if we stay in this course, that you will let it go, because you care too much for us to let us walk away from you, to let us become apathetic or complacent with loving others, with caring for the orphans and widows, for whatever it may be in our lives. Father, we thank you that you care enough for us that you're willing to put us under some circumstances which kind of burn away the junk in our lives, which burn away the sin in our lives, the character flaw in our lives. Lord, we ought to thank you for the time when you refine us, when you love us so much that you allow trouble into our lives so that you can shape us and mold our character. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.